Come to regular list, Senate File 107, Mr. Field Reader.
Senate File 107, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to a Court Supervised Treatment Program Act, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We have an amendment, Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I move third reading amendment number one. I'll walk you through what some of these amendments do. The first one is over on page 13. And if you recall, there was two different ways you get into this program. One is if you're in the adult program, and then there's a juvenile program. And what I'm doing there at the very first part of it, I'm deleting out a sentence that says, the sentence right now reads, a juvenile court judge may refer substance offenders and other persons as provided in Title 14 of the Wyoming statutes for participation in the program. There's some confusion as to who those other persons are. What was intended by that was if you're in juvenile court, and this is normally just how juvenile court works, you deal with the kid, but you also deal with the parents. You're trying to involve the parents in some treatment options and whatnot. That's actually already covered in Romanet 3 on page 14, lines 13 through 16, where it says, in a juvenile court case, the referring judge has reason to believe that participation by the child's parent will be in the best interest of the child. So that sort of cleared up that issue of who these other persons was. It was sort of dangling out there that sort of the court could just start pulling people into the program that may not need to be in the program. So that was sort of, in my mind, to sort of clean up. Then over on page 20, throughout the bill at the beginning, we list some goals, and we said, and we don't normally list goals in bills, but in this bill we did. And what we said was that each court will strive to create a program for retention and graduation of participants, and that they will strive for sobriety of participants. Before, we had the word ensure, and the difficulty that some of the programs had was that it sort of implied that they had to get everybody to sobriety and that everyone had to be retained. Well, when you're dealing with people with these type of issues, you're going to have some people fail. It's just how it works. And so we were sort of setting a really high goal, and so we switched it in an earlier amendment from ensure to strive for. Well, I didn't realize over on page 20 we were back to using those words ensure, and so I switched them back to strive to, that they will strive to do these things. Because especially when you're talking about drug treatment, to put emphatic words that you shall do something gets very difficult with these type of patients. So that's essentially what the amendments were doing.
Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I would like to divide the amendment and divide it from lines 1 through 10, being section 1, okay, and then lines 11 through 21, being section 2.
Okay, hold up just a second. I'll move that it is, or I'll rule that it is divisible, and I want to be sure I got this right. Lines 1 through 10 is division 1. Division 2 is lines 11 through 21.
Yes, that's correct. Thank you.
Okay. And which one would you like to take up first?
The first one, I have no concerns with Division 2. I would like to discuss Division 1.
Okay.
I have some concerns that when this was drafted, the people that were involved in drafting it were careful to make sure that everyone was satisfied. I'm reluctant to change it at this point in time because we don't know for sure what it would do. And I believe that Title 14 would probably cover the other persons involved. So I would like to leave it the way it is and not take a chance that we are omitting any judges that perhaps would be omitted if we deleted this section of the amendment. So I would urge you to vote aye for Division 2, but vote no for Division 1.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On Division 2, if you go to page 13.
Actually, Mr. Speaker.
Oh, Division 1, excuse me. On Division 1 at page 13. At the bottom of page 12, this is 713-1607, Participation in Court-Supervised Treatment Programs, Conditions, and Extended Probation. The way it reads now on page 13, line 2, no person may participate in a program unless the person in a Wyoming District Juvenile Circuit Municipal or Tribal Court has been charged with an offense, period. And the Standing Committee Amendment struck in which alcohol or substance abuse may have been a factor. And then line 5 at the end, and those four Romanettes. So when I look at the definition of substance offender on page 6, that means a person charged with a substance abuse-related offense or an offense in which substance abuse is determined from the evidence to have been a significant factor in the commission of the offense. So back to 13, line 2 and 3. No person may participate in a program unless they have been charged with an offense and they've entered an admission or a guilty or nolo contendere plea, has entered a guilty plea pursuant to 1713.301, that's a deferral, has signed a consent decree under Title 14. That means I'm agreeing to allow the court to dictate some conditions to me, or is on parole. By using the word person, we disregard the definition of substance offender that has in there that substance abuse is a significant factor in the element of the offense. So any person charged with an offense would be a participant on page 13, but that's not how it's defined in the bill. Then, line 24, on page 13, it would take out that last sentence on 13 over to 14 because this talks about specifically about juvenile court. Judge may refer substance offenders, there's the term substance offenders, and then it says, and other persons as provided in Title 14. Well, those are people who would be covered by a consent decree that are already addressed on page 13, lines 13 through 14, so you don't need that section. Then page 14, line 2, well, it deletes the word through the period, and then it deletes person and inserts substance offender, because again, that's inconsistent with the definition of substance offender in the bill. It reads on page 14, line 2, a person who is a defendant in a criminal action or a respondent in a civil court action, a juvenile court action, may be referred for participation in a program if, and then it's got the four Romanettes. None of them say that substance abuse is a significant factor in the offense. So we've created a definition, but we don't use it. So by going to substance offender in place of person, we're consistent, and we know that the substance abuse has to be a significant factor in the crime, which is the way you get into drug court anyway. It has to be a significant factor, or you wouldn't go there. And we don't need that last sentence on 13 because it says the same thing in the next sentence. If you look at them, they say the same thing different ways. That's why the word person on page 14, line 2, needs to say substance offender, who is a defendant in a criminal action or a respondent in a juvenile court action may be referred if they meet these elements. And the important, one of the important elements is Romanette 4 on page 14. The person's case is processed pursuant to subsection A of this section. And under subsection A, Romanette 3, that's the consent decree under Title 14, and it covers the juvenile element of it. So I think it's okay, and just clarifies the whole bill and uses consistent definitions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Can you tell me the division again, please?
Yes. It's lines 1 through 10 is division 1, which we were on right now. And then lines 11 through 21 are division 2.
And maybe it's too late to do this, but I'll go ahead and ask the question. Is it possible to amend a division in a line? If the first division were the semicolon on line 8 of the amendment, is that feasible? Representative Throne,
would you want to further divide division one?
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I would just say that from the semicolon on down is a better division for division two.
Madam Minority Floor Leader, could you come up? Okay, here's how we'll divide it. And division one will be lines 1 through and on line 8 through the semicolon on line 8. Division 3 will be line 8 after the semicolon through line 9. And then division, or through line 10, I'm sorry. Division 3 will be after the semicolon on line 8, and then lines 9 and 10. Division 2 will be lines 11 through 21. Division 2 will not change. Okay, and I'm assuming we're still on Division 1. Representative Throne.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I rise in opposition to Division 1. I think that if you look at line or page 13, line 2, the Standing Committee amendment amended that, deleted person and replaced that with substance abuse offender, which I believe addresses the concerns of the good speaker. As the Madam Minority Floor Leader mentioned, the bill is a carefully crafted compromise, and I believe that the reference to juvenile court needs to remain in Division One. So for that reason, I'm opposed to Division One.
Anybody else for the first time on Division One? For the second time?
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem.
We'll go back and let you have a first time. Representative Chairman Landon.
Thank you. I beg to disagree with the previous statement. I don't see in the Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 where it referred to those lines at all on the bottom of page 13 and the top of page 14. And I would just, and because of that, I would agree with the previous speakers that this language is already contained in the bill in a much better specific manner as to who the other persons are being referred to. So I would be on and for Division Number 1.
Okay, anyone else for the first time? For their second time? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I may have confused the issue there on page 13, lines 2 through 3, but the Standing Committee Amendment did take out the word person on lines 2 and 3 on page 13. And it took out part of line 4 and 5. On page 13, lines 23 and 24, we still have a reference to other persons when we took them out above the word person. And then over on page 14, line 2, in the second sentence, a person, and that should read a substance offender, and that's, I know that that's Division 3, but person should be out of the bill. It should say substance offender. A substance offender who is a defendant in a criminal action or a respondent in a juvenile court action may be referred for participation in a program if. So they have to be a criminal defendant or a respondent in a juvenile court action. That means you've actually been served with a juvenile court complaint or information, and you're a part of the case. But I do believe that that sentence there on lines 2 through 4 says the same thing as the previous sentence, but in a better way. And it needs Division 3 also.
Anybody else for their second time? Representative Gingrey.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Could I still have my second time?
Yeah, go ahead.
Apologize to the body for getting into the minutia of this, but members of the body, I think we still need lines 23 and 24 on page 13 and the reference to and other persons, because A is who can participate in the program, and B is the referral process by the judge. And the reason and other persons is needed in the juvenile court setting is to pull in the parents. And in some respects, maybe it's already covered under Romanet 3, but the B portion of it is what is the referral by the judge. The A portion is who gets to participate. So I don't think the reference on page 23 at the bottom, page 13, line 23 and 24 is redundant. I think it's something we still need to keep in the bill. Thank you.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On and for Division 1, I'd urge you to vote aye. I just draw your attention to page 13, line 20. What it says there, the judge may refer some substance offenders. That's who he's referring. He's sending over substance offenders. We got two different courts we're dealing with. The adult court is not what we're talking about. The adult court's real easy to figure that one out. You got a substance offender, he gets referred into the program, we know who that person is. It's the substance offender. The difficulty is that when you get into juvenile court, they actually try to bring in other people, too, that are under the purview of the court, meaning you want the kid there and you want the parents sitting there, too. And so that's allowed. Now, there's a few different ways the bill already allows for that. If you look on page 13, line 13 and 14, it's Romanette 3, they've signed a consent decree, and this is what you do in juvenile courts. So the parents have agreed to participate in this in the program with their child. The difficulty is that by using the word persons, you're sort of leaving it wide open for them to bring in other people that we're not real sure who these other people are. So we were just trying to clarify. What we meant was the kid that has the substance problem and his family, his parents. And that's provided on page 14, Romanette 3, lines 13 through 16. To me, it was just more clarifying that we want to bring in the full family as a participation, as a family, and try to solve this problem, and to clarify who these people are, and not just use this generic person just sort of thrown out there. And so it's confusing when you read it without specifically saying the substance offender, and then specifically down there we say his parent or guardian, that they'll participate too, and they participate through the consent decree. I'd urge you to vote aye on Division 1.
Okay. Question being called on Division 1 to Third Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 107. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Motion passed. All those in favor of Division 1, please stand. Division 1 has passed. Now we'll go to Division 2. Madam Minority Floor Leader, that was your division. Okay. Representative Gingrey.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, if I could make an oral amendment. If you look on line 15, there's a typo there. It says page 3, line 7 and 8. It should say page 20, line 7 and 8. So if I could move to on line 15 of the amendment to delete page 3 and insert page 20.
Okay. I'd say that's in order. All those in discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Representative Gingrey. Chairman Gingrey, sorry.
I think I already explained this one earlier. All I was trying to do was switch from shall to strive to, and that's throughout there.
Okay, Mr. Speaker. Representative Hammonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I have a question for the bringer of the amendment. It's my understanding that, and I, because of the rules of the floor, I can't name the individuals, but the leading individuals from the judicial branch and many judges from across the state worked on this issue for 2 years, and it seems to me that shall is a legal word, but I'm not familiar with strive to, and so I need a better explanation of the individuals from the courts who have legal backgrounds and their choice of the word shall, and why at this point in the bill's progression through the legislature we would want to alter that.
Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm real concerned about that language, and I'm not sure whether we do want to go there. And my question and concern is this. Whenever you say strive to, you no longer have a goal. Anything satisfies that requirement of striving to. And I think that the only way that you can have a goal is to establish it, that this shall be what we're going to do. And for that reason, that would be, I guess, my question to the good bringer of the amendment is, is what is the advantage of saying strive to? Why shouldn't we just have a goal and say that this shall be the standard that we expect to be held to and that we expect to be offered to the offenders?
Mr. Speaker, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. On page 20, line 1, read it without the amendment. Each program shall establish a system to ensure that participants are provided treatment services that have been certified by the department. That's pretty clear. You must ensure that they're provided with those services that have been certified. Then in the next sentence, each program team shall determine the type and duration of treatment service appropriate for the participant's individualized needs, etc. Line 10, the program team shall establish an adequate continuum of care for each participant, including adequate support services and aftercare. The way it's written to me, and then in line 14 and 15, appropriate treatment shall be provided to participants who have a dual diagnosis. Those are so difficult to determine whether you can ensure it, whether on line 10 the program team establishes an adequate continuum of care. What's an adequate continuum of care? It's different for each person, including adequate support services and aftercare. To me, the way it's written, it just begs for a lawsuit on all of these, saying, it says you shall do this, and you didn't do it. And that's why I failed drug court or had to go back to prison or go to prison and complete my term there, because many of these people are out. It's their last chance before they go in. And under subparagraph C, appropriate treatment shall be provided to participants who have a dual diagnosis. Instead of the amendment saying the program team shall strive for appropriate treatment to be provided to participants. We'll do the best we can for someone who's got a dual diagnosis in this drug court program, but we know that the recidivism rate is pretty high. We know that the dropout rate is reasonably high. But we're guaranteeing things that we simply shouldn't be guaranteeing. There were other changes in the bill in the Standing Committee amendment on page 7, where the goals of the program were changed. Line 7, or page 7, line 17 and 20. We deleted the word ensure and put in strive for, because we couldn't ensure those things. We can strive for those things. I do agree that we should establish a system to do these things. But I don't think in these circumstances you can use the language that essentially guarantees it, and when you don't provide it, you open yourself up for a lawsuit. So I think that we'll do the best we can with these services, and that's what that amendment attempts to do on page 20.
Anybody else for the first time on Division 2? Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I just don't think the word shall is ever a good word to use in goal setting. Shall is a precatory word. It's mandatory. It means do it or die. And when this says shall strive to, that means get busy and do it. But without the strive to in there, just the word shall, I just don't think it's an appropriate word for goal setting. It prescribes a bottom line.
Anybody else for the first time? For the second time, Representative Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm satisfied.
Chairman Gingrey. Anybody else for their second time? First, Chairman Gingrey.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I didn't mean to make this such a long discussion. All I was trying to do, if you look over on page 7, we actually sort of already made this decision. We switched the goals, and we had a long discussion in committee of just taking out the goals, because we don't normally put goals in a bill, but it was decided to leave the goals in. But under the goals, we switched ensure to strive for, and I actually sat on a conference call for an hour while we discussed what was a better word than ensure, and the best we could come up with was strive for. And that was most of the people that run the drug courts, because they're the ones who brought this forward and said, listen, you can't use that strong of words when you're dealing with substance abuse treatment programming. And so it came from those folks that actually run the programs that they wanted some different wording. So we switched that in an earlier amendment. All I was trying to do here today was, I'd forgotten about page 20, and just to make this consistent with page 7, where we already had made the change. So this was just more to make it consistent with what with the decision we had already made in an earlier amendment.
Okay. Question being called. All those in favor of Division 2, which is lines 11 through 21 on third reading amendment number 1, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Now we're on Division 3, which is lines 8 after the semicolon, line 9 and line 10. Actually, Representative Throne made this division. You would get to go first.
Oh.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I support this division.
Okay. Chairman Gingrey.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, this just makes it consistent. We've already switched person to substance offender throughout the bill. This is the last one. So just to make it consistent, I'd urge you to vote aye.
Okay. Question being called. All those in favor of Division 3, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passed. Senate file 107, having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Bagby, Barbuto, Berger, Blake, Bonner, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson excused, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlek, Shepperson excused, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 53 ayes, 5 noes, 2 excused.
Senate file 107, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate file 107 has passed the House. Senate file 135, Madam Majority Floor Leader. Madam Majority Whip, sorry.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, pursuant to House Rule 9-3C, I request that Senate file 135 be laid back one day.
Okay. Hearing no objection, so ordered. Senate Joint Resolution 4.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, introduced by Senator Anderson, a joint resolution expressing Wyoming's opposition to inclusion of the black-tailed prairie dog on the list of candidate species to be considered for listing as threatened or endangered by the Endangered Species Act of 1973, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I move third reading amendment number 1 and we'll remove it at the appropriate time. I just wanted to have one last chance to chat about this a little bit. I talked a little bit about it last week when we were discussing this. Here's the background on this prairie dog issue. A few years ago, there is an environmental, I don't know what you call it, environmental group, I guess. They sued the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and said you need to list, or at least start the process of listing the black-tailed prairie dog as endangered or threatened. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service had already gone through this in the mid-90s, and so they responded back and said, no, we're not even going to go through the process. We did that just a few years ago, and we found no reason to list them. They get sued. It goes to court. The court comes back and says, actually, it does look like there is substantial scientific information, that's the term they use, indicating that the listing may be warranted. So that forced U.S. Fish and Wildlife to start the process. And so that started in December of 08, and they issued what's called a 90-day letter. The comment period has actually ended. The comment period was through February, I believe, 2nd, that you had to have all your comments in. Here's what they look at when they're determining whether or not to say something's endangered or threatened. They go through and they look at a lot of different factors. And in this particular case, they're looking at their habitat and range. Is anything impacting that range? One of the ones that they give here is that in the state of Colorado, the Front Range development is pushing out habitat. So that's one of the examples they give. Another is recreational shooting. That's an example they use of something that may impact that population. Another one is there's a certain disease that if it hits their little dog towns, I guess, it wipes them all out. It's like 100%. It's a really bad disease that hits prairie dogs. And then, but those are the first three. It's the fourth one I wanted to talk to you about. The fourth one is inadequacy of existing regulatory mechanisms. And here's what happened. Back in 1994, when they were looking at listing the prairie dog back in 94, a bunch of the states got together and they started passing rules and regulations saying, listen, you don't need to list them because we'll take care of it at the state level. We'll make sure that those populations are protected somewhat, you know, not full protection, but that we'll make sure that they don't drastically change. The problem is once the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service decided not to list in the 90s, a lot of these regulations came off the books. So they went on to sort of talk the feds into not doing anything, and then once the feds said, okay, we won't do anything, then the regulations came off. Now, that wasn't our state, but some of the states they highlight is state of Montana, and you'll have to laugh at this because we're back to dual status, but these aren't wolves. In Montana, they were called non-game wildlife in need of management, and also they were termed pest. They've now gone to single status, just pest. And so what the U.S. Fish and Wildlife looks at is how are the state game and fish departments managing the prairie dogs? Are they managing them appropriately? And if they are, then we don't need to list them. So I want you to think in this manner. Try to think like a federal bureaucrat for a second. Okay, so you have this federal bureaucrat sitting back in D.C. It's his job to sit down and write this report as to whether or not they should move ahead with listing them as threatened or endangered. Now, all he has to do, let's just pick on the one on regulatory. He has to go, you know what, I don't think we need to list them because we got this really nice letter from the Game and Fish Department of Wyoming saying we don't need to list them because they're doing a nice job of managing them and there's really no need. Okay, so he'll say to his bosses, don't list this. The problem is, if you send this joint resolution, in particularly, if it was just a joint resolution saying please don't list them, I don't think that would have been a problem. The difficulty is, and it's the language that the good chairman of labor was trying to fix last week, by sending something and it's the whereases that are going to cause problems. The whereases make it very clear that we don't like prairie dogs. It says they destroy ground cover, that they are detrimental to wildlife. That is sending a message that we are not going to, that our state will not be managing prairie dogs appropriately. And it's sort of sending a message like, please, please, federal government, come take over for us because we're not going to do the job. I don't think that's the intent. I don't think that's what we meant to be doing with this. But if the prairie dog gets listed as threatened or endangered, I would have to say to you the sole reason or the primary reason they got listed was because of this joint resolution. Because someone back in D.C. is going to read this, in particularly in the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and they're going to say, Wyoming is not committed to managing the prairie dog at an appropriate level, so we, the feds, have to step in. This can be accomplished just so simply by our Wildlife Management Department sending a letter saying, hey, they're fine, we're going to manage them, there's not a problem, and you don't need to list them. But once we send this resolution, I think it's sending the wrong message that we're saying that we are not going to manage them and that we are essentially asking the feds to step in. I would urge you to vote no on this. It's a joint resolution, and normally joint resolutions don't really, you know, I'm not saying they're not important, but I mean, they don't, not the power of law. But I think this joint resolution is actually going to lead, or at least give a very strong argument as to actually placing the prairie dog on the list. And I'd urge you to vote no on this joint resolution.
Anybody else for the first time? Representative Sumlich.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, you know, all of us have different backgrounds in this area, and in my public service in the county commission a few years ago, we got involved in this issue in the state's plan. There was 11 states who had jointly agreed to work out a prairie dog management plan so that we could try to escape the possibility of being listed, which none of us wanted to do. And the reason the state of Wyoming pushed back on some of that was because of some of the erroneous assumptions that was made by some advocacy group as to what the historical habitat of the prairie dog was in Wyoming. And it said it included all areas of the state, I think below 4,500 feet in elevation. And if that was, in fact, the historical habitat, well, then I don't think that we could, in those areas of elevations that I just referred to, I don't think we could step any place without stepping on an old prairie dog hole or an old, in a prairie dog town. So the reason Wyoming pushed back on some of this stuff was because we just felt that some of the efforts made by some of the groups who wanted to see them listed were disingenuous. They were looking at trying to affect public policy in a ways by using the prairie dog. And I can tell you that the federal land managers in Wyoming have worked diligently to make sure that our prairie dog population has been maintained. I think the numbers are up about 7% from where they were. So, this is an important issue, a very important issue, and I guess I just respectfully disagree with the chairman of who just spoke in regard to his impression of that. But resolution is what it is. So I would just ask that you'd support it. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? For the second time? Representative Chairman Gingrey.
I would remove the amendment.
Okay. Senate Joint Resolution 4 having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. No. Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Yes.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson excused. Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
No.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
No.
Landon.
No.
Lockhart.
Lubno.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
No.
Simlick.
Aye.
Shepperson excused. Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Lockhart, no to aye. Are there any other changes? Barbudo, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 34 ayes, 24 noes, 2 excused.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 4, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate Joint Resolution 4 has passed the House. We are at that order of business, requests to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message 407 on House Bill 262. I don't know who's. Representative Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I move concurrence on House Bill 262 and ask for your aye vote. I think for the clearest explanation of this, we'll call on the good chairman in the shadow of Devil's Tower to explain what the Senate side did as they worked their way through the bill.
Chairman Semling.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, in the discussion of House Bill 262 here on the House floor, we had some concerns. I heard some concerns about if the very rare and uncommon designation was to be made by the Environmental Quality Council, and then in order for that designation to be final, it had to be taken to the Joint Minerals Committee, and there was concern about that, and there was concern about if the designation was made, well then, and if they didn't like the designation the way it was made, how would we appeal it, and I can tell you that the Senate, the other body was somewhat mindful of these same concerns, and they made some changes in that, and it's found on the page 3, line 7 of the concurrence message. And they took the joint minerals language out of the bill and inserted the State Loan and Investment Board in its place, and it just says that the board shall consider the council's report, and that refers back to Environmental Quality Council, and approve or disapprove the council's recommendation on the designation of an area as very rare and uncommon. And then the approval or disapproval by the land board shall be considered a final agency action and may be appealed according to the Wyoming Administrative Procedures Act. So we really dealt with a couple issues there. There was some concern that the interim committee wouldn't have time to do it. The other body believed that the State Land Investment Board would have that time, and I would agree with that. The concern about the appeal process, that language is pretty clear now how that's done. The second major thing that they did, you find that on page 3, line 7 of the bill, and on the bottom of the first page of the concurrence message. And this section was inadvertently removed. This was a language that we had in here in the House, and it was inadvertently removed in the Senate on a committee of the whole amendment, and this just reinstates that language. that says that no designation of this is final until it's approved. That, however, is new language to conform with the previous change that I just talked to you about. And it goes on to say that no designation made prior to July. Oh, at first it says that the designation shall be recorded in each county where the land is located, and so forth and so on. And then another new language that was picked up there was that in the very end of that paragraph on top of the page, it says that the designation will be final and it shall be approved by the State Loan Investment Board if the council records notice of the designation in the office of the county clerk in each county where the land is located by December 31st, 2011. So this will meet some of the concerns that we had in regard to Environmental Quality Council maybe not having the money in their current budget to do the recordation of these designations, and we say, well, we'll give them a couple years to do that. And I think that was a good move on the part of the other body. And the final thing involves 3511-1001, Judicial Review, Temporary Relief and Conditions. We find this language in Chapter 12 of the Environmental Quality. And all we did in there was to, what the other body did, I should say, what they did in there was to change the language where it says unique and irreplaceable to very rare and uncommon. And the reason they did that is because that unique and irreplaceable is some old language. The first four resolutions that were done to make this dedication were considered to be unique and irreplaceable. And then 4 or 5 years later, that language just kind of disappeared, so they added this back in here. So, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I personally support these amendments, but I would respectfully defer to the chairman of the Minerals Committee and follow the customary procedure in asking for his position in the concurrence.
Representatives want it, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Maybe just a couple of questions. One, has anyone asked the State Loan Investment Board if they want this authority? You know, in this body, I talked against it having to come before the legislature because we were a political body and subject to the whims of our constituents. It does make it a little bit better to put it to the five statewide electeds. But in some cases, we're sending a DEQ-EQC decision over to another state agency. Even though it's the Board of Land Commissioners, it's still the land commissioner's job to put this before her board. It just seems kind of convoluted for agencies to be trumping or overseeing agencies, even though the board in this case would be the five statewide elected officials. But I guess I would question if the five statewides want to go visit each one of these sites and really do the in-depth work that is needed that EQC puts into some of these designations for and against. The way I read it as well, if the EQC looks at a site and says we don't want it designated rare or uncommon, I think I read it, even with this amendment, that the whichever group wanted it or whoever wanted it to be declared that can still go before the SLIB board and demand the SLIB board to override the EQC's decision. If I'm wrong on that, please let me know. But the way I read it, I believe that can still happen. So one way or another, if you don't like the bill in general, vote no, or if you don't believe the State Land Board should have authority over the Environmental Quality Council's decisions when one member of the State Land Board appoints those people to begin with and the Senate approves them, that I'd ask you to vote no, unless you're going to tell me the State Land Board's looked at this and really likes it and wants this power. Thanks.
Anybody else for their first time? For the second time? Chairman Lockhart, I'll let you go ahead since you moved.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. The SLIB board does this in a lot of venues, and this really answered one of the questions that one of the suggestions that developed during the hearing on both the Senate and the House side is that it would be very difficult for the Minerals Committee in a orderly manner to take one of these decisions up or down and meet in the summer and then come back to the legislature and make the arguments over. and that you really needed some, if you will, elected bodies to take a look at what was being done and to ensure that the recording and the sort of thing that is also in the bill was in fact done. The SLIB board does that in a number of other venues, and so this is just another thing to add to their agenda, but they do represent the full support of the state because they are the top five elected offices, and they meet on a monthly basis so they can do these things promptly. And my expectations are is that they could handle this without much difficulty. I think maybe that answers one of the questions, but when the DEQ / EQC brings something to them, they will act on it. They will not do all of the hearings and that sort of thing. They'll make a decision, as a political body does, on the information provided. And up or down, we have a group that is voted in by the population that looks at the issue.
Anybody else for their second time? Hearing none. We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 262. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Bird.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson excused. Childers.
Aye.
Cohey. Connolly.
No.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
No.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
No.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
No.
Landon. Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
Aye.
Patterson.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Horberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlich.
Aye.
Shepperson excused. Stewart. Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gingery, aye to no. Mercer, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 41 ayes, 17 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 262. Next message for our consideration is message number 114. I'm sorry, message number 405 on House Bill 114. Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem, I move message number 405 to House Bill number 114 and ask you to vote no. Ladies and gentlemen, the Senate changed the hold harmless clause that we had passed out of our house for the community colleges, and they made another change on a position. Well, when they took the positions out, the money for the positions out, they also made a change there, left the clerical position in and took the main position out. So we'd like to meet and talk with them about these two positions and what their thinking was. So with that, I'd stand for any questions, or if none, I'd ask you to vote no.
Anyone else? We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 114. The majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
No.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brechtel.
No.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
No.
Bird.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson excused. Childers.
No.
Cohey.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
No.
Davison.
No.
Dirks.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
No.
Hales.
No.
Hallinan.
No.
Hammonds.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Illaway.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jorgensen.
No.
Landon.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Lebno.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
No.
Mercer.
No.
Meyer.
No.
Miller.
No.
Millen.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
No.
Peasley.
No.
Pedersen. Peterson. Peterson.
No.
Philp.
No.
Korberg.
No.
Roscoe. Simlek.
No.
Shepperson excused. Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Pedersen. Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. One aye, 57 noes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur on Senate amendments to House Bill 114. Now we are at that order of business. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 9, Mr. Speaker, in accordance with WS 2812-102, the Senate voted on the confirmation of the governor's appointments and confirmed all nominees by the vote indicated. Ayes 29, excused 1, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 412, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 3054. Physical therapist licensure. Ayes 23, noes 7. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 413, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 26, voter registration deadline. Ayes 30, noes 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 414, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 101, Trona Utility Shot Fire Certification. Ayes 30, noes 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 415, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 28, Licensing of Entertainment Activities. Ayes 23, noes 7. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 416, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 84, the Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bills listed above by the vote indicated, ayes 1, noes 29. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with a like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 417, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 47, Hathaway Student Scholarship Program Administration. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Ayes 0, noes 30. The Senate requests the House appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with the like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 418. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 84. The Senate conferees are Senator Hastert, Chairman, Senator Perkins, Senator Ross. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 419. Mr. Speaker, the President appointed Senate conferees to meet with a like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 47. The Senate conferees are Senator Coe, Chairman, Senator Schiffer, Senator Von Flattern. Signed, Diane Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 420, Mr. Speaker. House Bill 127, Obsolete Laws, General Revisions. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, noes 0. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diane Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 421, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 152, Athletic Trainers Licensing. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 22, noes 8. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 422, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 169, Mortgage Loan Originators. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 29, noes 1. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendment, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 423, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 177, Board of Dental Examiners Revisions. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in amended form as follows by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, no 0. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 424, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 180, Public Transit Accounting Funding. Ayes 28, noes 2, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 425, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 184, Mineral Taxes, Audit and Refund. Ayes 30, noes 0, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 426, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 271, Medicaid Speech and Audiology Services. Ayes 29, noes 1, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 427, Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 283, Taxation and Revenue Digital Products. Ayes 30, no 0, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 429, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 226, State Lands Grazing Leases. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 22, noes 5, conflict 3. Signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 430. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 287, Helium Property Tax. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 24, noes 6. Signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 431, Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. House Bill 11, Dogs Chasing Wildlife. Vote, ayes 21, noes 9, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 432. Mr. Speaker, Senate File 61, Sex Offender Registration. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 22, noes 8, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 433, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 103, Child Abuse and Neglect Amendments. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 on the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 30, no 0, signed Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Conference Committees on Senate File 47, Chairman McComey, Teeters, and Harshman. Senate File 47, Chair McComey, Teeters, and Harshman. Senate File 84, Chair is Buchanan with Stubson and Throne. Chair Buchanan with Stubson and Throne on Senate File 84. Thank you. Committee announcements. Any announcements? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your conference committee number one on House Bill 288 will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in S18, which is the Minerals Committee room on the Senate side, and your members are Representative Stewart and Representative Stubson and myself.
The Conference Committee on House Bill 114, Community College Amendments, will be McComey Chair with Patton and Korberg. That's McComey Chair with Patton and Korberg on House Bill 114. Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A committee announcement. The House Ag Committee will be meeting tomorrow morning in room 302 at 9 a.m. to hear a presentation from a group of Future Farmers of America members from the community over the hill here. They're involved in some kind of statewide competition, and they just wanted to have a chance to run their presentation by our committee. So if you have anything going tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. and 302, please come up and join that and participate in that activity for our youth. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, a committee announcement for your committee number 10, Labor, will meet this afternoon upon adjournment to have an informational meeting on Medicaid, specifically the Healthy Together program with the Department of Health. It'll just be an informal information exchange.
I would like to meet with the chairman 10 minutes upon adjournment tonight in room 302. Any other announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House adjourn until Tuesday, March 3rd at 10 a.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are adjourned until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m.